Cthulhu presents the Call of Cthulhu campaign, Curse of Nineveh, by Mike Mason, Mark Latham, Scott Dorwood, Paul Fricker, Andrew Kenrick.
So yeah, last time we had a bunch of different clues and leads to go on, and we all kind of split up and went around. Montgomery, Kitty, and Oswald went to Sweet Relics, where we'd heard that potentially there was a greasy antique dealer and demon summoner who we did meet, and confirmed that yes, indeed, he was very greasy. While Kitty kept him busy, the others were able to get these notes on some specific Naboo-related exhibits and Assyrian items that we are going to look into at our appointment the next day.
Kitty still feels queasy.
Yes. I'm sure she won't shake that off until she has a good bath. And then Connor and Maud visited Brightman's estate and met with the butler. And didn't find much, if I recall. There was a similar statue. Some papers got taken during the theft. Found out that the attorneys were that were going to do the will reading. Dame Agatha and Roger relaxed at the club. Met back up, called it a night. Dame Agatha took the statue home for the night. Bad dreams. Then we had some people head to the bank while the others head to the museum. And put the statue in a safe deposit box. And then something's happening while they're meeting with Peter Simpkins.
Sounds about right. Let's start with the museum group. For some reason, yesterday I got sort of interested in trying to figure out where the club was in relation to the British Museum. So in the notes, I've put a little footpath map. You wanted to walk there based on, obviously, current landmarks. Jonathan is our resident Londonologist. How long a walk would that be? Piccadilly area to the British Museum.
I would say.
Yeah, it probably should, but 15 minutes?
Okay. So my question for the group going to the museum, which is Agatha, Connor, Oswald, and Montgomery, is how are you getting there? Are you taking a cab? Are you walking? What's your plan?
Probably take a cab.
Well, what's the weather like?
It is mid-July in London, so Jonathan?
Could be anything from
so is it 50 degrees rain
to really hot and sweltering.
I'd say it's a pleasant July
Mr.
day.
Kinder be joining us? Depression. That's what it sounds like.
Well, we're in the 20s, aren't we? So
yes.
There's probably going to be a fair bit of the smog would probably be quite unbearable actually this time of
Even on the West End.
Yeah. Lots of people would leave London during the summer to get away from it.
All right.
Oh, very well. We can certainly take a taxi, a cab.
I don't know if any of you own cars either. So far, I only really know of one car in the group.
Nope.
I don't think I have one. That's for sure.
Okay. Sounds like a cab it is.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Get the cab. Everybody give me a spot hidden roll.
Who's following us? That is a hard success.
An 11. I can burn one to make that extreme if no one else dream.
You don't need to. I was happy to have you do it. I just needed to, because you were in a cab versus walking, I was thinking it was hard. Oh, so well, this sort of makes sense. You're trained to look for prey and sometimes may even be prey. There is definitely a car following behind you. It has a couple of guys in suits who look like they are rough customers.
All right. So let's see. How many of us are enough that fit in one cab together?
Four.
Maybe not comfortably, but yeah, three in the back and one up front. Yeah, if we're all in the car together, I guess I don't really want to, like, say it in front of the cab driver. Whatever. Yeah, it looks like we've got some people following us. I'm going to say to the cab driver, can you drop us off at, and then I'll need Jonathan's London experience here, some crowded, busy marketplace where people would be shopping and it would be easy to lose a tail.
Yeah, oh, I mean,
exciting.
In this day and age, it'd be Covent Garden. But let's just say Covent Garden, something like that.
Sure.
So I'll say, I suggest maybe we can lose them in a crowd and pick up another cab or make our way to the museum. So yeah, cabbie, could you change route, drop us off at Covent Garden, please?
Not a problem. Not a problem. Brings you over to the, drops you off as you get out. The car that was following you stops a bit distance back, and one of the two guys gets out.
All right. Let's make haste, everybody. Let's split up and meet over here at some place that I can dictate on the other side, outside the Common Garden on the other side.
Very good.
Excellent. You split into your different ways. There's no need for rolling on it.
I take off my hat as I walk through the crowd. It's an amazing means of camouflaging myself.
Probably makes you stand out like a sore thumb, actually.
No, I think I'm short enough that I'm no longer visible. Maybe I'll buy a new hat even.
Dame Agatha, you realize that he is following you.
Oh, excellent. All right.
So would you like to give me some roll to move a hat in such a way that you can blend into the crowd?
Sure.
Stealth, maybe?
Stealth is a thing. Sleight of hand would be a worse thing. is there a Bobby nearby?
Oh, in this park here? Of course there is, yeah.
All right, well, I will go chat with a Bobby for a while and see what happens to the person following me.
So he was maintaining a certain distance behind you, enough to sort of keep you in eyesight without, you know, without necessarily sort of drawing attention to you, not being close enough. When you stopped the Bobby, he definitely gets an uncomfortable look.
And then I will, I'm going to talk to the Bobby and sort of like ask a question about that thing over there, which just happens to be, you know, just beyond the shoulder of the man who's been tailing me. So I'm pointing at him in his mind, although not necessarily pointing him out to the Bobby, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes. He pulls out a paper, starts covering his face and walking in the opposite direction.
I will take it. I will say thank you very much and move away quickly. And I will attempt to, get behind some crowds.
Not a problem. We can all make it to the other side of the park.
Don't mess with Dame Agatha.
Don't mess with me. Mess right back.
I'm assuming you all left in plenty of time to make your appointment, so it's not a problem for you to regroup and get back again.
He definitely seemed to be following me. I'm pretty sure I lost him, but I'll have to be careful.
Troublesome, yes. We'll definitely make sure that you always have someone accompanying you.
Yes, that would be good.
Do you recognize him from a book signing or something else?
I assume not.
Give me an idea roll.
All right. A hard success?
Yeah. You don't recognize him, but you realize that his sort of demeanor, suit, etc., reminds you of the description of the people that saw somebody outside of Bingo and Bingo's house.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'll say, So I think he I understand there were several people in rotation watching Bingo and,
Anaria.
Anaria. And sounded like one of them, perhaps. I don't know. Was it the tall, thin man or the short, heavy man?
No, it's not one of them necessarily. It's not
just
same
that type.
It's just sort of that type.
Oh, well, yeah, that's obvious. The thugs of some sort.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
I don't always know what's obvious to people.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think you told us they were thugs to begin with, so I was sort of thought we'd already typecast them.
Yeah.
But cool.
You are able to arrive at the British Museum on the other side.
Perfect.
You have an appointment with the curator, correct?
Yeah, with the curator, yeah.
That's true. Well, you have the Assyrian
statue curator or whatever, the Assyrian curator.
Yeah. Yeah. For this particular wing, there's a curator.
Excellent.
I hope this works.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep.
Oh, look at him.
A short little man with glasses comes out. looks every bit what you'd expect a curator to be. Like, sorry, Steve. and he yes, I'm Patrick Longton. I understand you wanted to meet with me.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, there's more of you than I thought there might be. Well, let's come back here. I've got a conference room near my office.
Wonderful.
There is a medium-sized conference room. Looks like if, one more of you had decided to come along, you'd have enough room for them. And he says, well, let me just start by saying, can you all confirm that you are not journalists?
Yes.
Confirm.
Haven't yet.
Good.
I word.
Now,
What concern do you have with journalists?
Oh, well, there's a lot of papers out there that you want to get scoops, and I don't like being in the paper. We like to control the messaging here at the British Museum.
I see.
So, how can I help you?
We have some questions, yeah. Go ahead.
No, after you.
So, we were wondering about your exhibition what was it? Sorry, go ahead, Max.
Yes, we were interested in Naboo.
Naboo, thank you.
Yes, Naboo. Yes, what can I tell you that you couldn't get from our excellent exhibit out there?
Well, you see, we were looking into perhaps some that we didn't see out on public display.
Oh?
Yes, there's a couple pieces in particular we were looking for that our friend had told us we might be interested to see. I have a list here.
Oh, and what is your, this is, these are materials that are being curated right now. Who is your friend?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of a private matter. Yes, we were definitely interested in potentially seeing these pieces. I know, you're quite a busy man. I didn't want to inconvenience you. I'm glad you took our appointment. Maybe we could just, you know, get this little private tour, and I'm sure you would definitely make us some very happy patrons of the museum. I know you're always looking for donations and new sources for pieces coming out of other countries.
Well, I need something. You basically come in and said we'd like a private tour. I need a credit rating or a persuasion from you as the chief speaker right now.
Do I get any assistance to credit rating roles from all the rich people with me?
I don't know. Are there rich people with you?
What counts as rich?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. I'm a 40 credit rating.
I'm a 40 credit rating as well, but if I could chime in to make it sound like we know what we're talking about instead of like with money.
If we're a group of meeting,
maybe it's
meeting
just, maybe it's just the way Dame Agatha carries herself, but I for some reason, maybe I thought her credit rating was much higher.
She used to be quite wealthy and is titled, but is currently not in a position to make very large donations to the, and that may be obvious, I don't know. So hers is not that high.
So, none so of it sounds like 50. A 40 is a pretty good number for the group.
All right. That's a 60. Maybe I could push the roll.
Yeah. Did you use the bonus die?
I think I'll try and push that, Sean.
Really? Okay. What's the outcome if you fail?
Well, how are you gonna push it?
Well, I'm thinking I try and bribe him. And and just kind
go
of
ahead
like,
and start. Just give me a psychology roll before you go down this path.
Okay. Well, that's not good. I'm not good at psychology.
That's okay, so that sounds like a really good idea to try to bribe this guy.
This is going well.
Yeah.
You stick with that idea. Don't change that idea.
I'm not. I think I want to try and like bribe him and be like, I know, yeah. Being such a busy man, I'm sure helping us out, especially pull out some specific exhibits, might take a little time. Maybe this, you know, could help help speed that process up. And then I guess make that credit rating again.
So let's just stop for a minute here. So this is what I'm thinking about, and you can tell me if you don't agree with it. It's the equivalent of somebody coming to the place where you work and saying, I have a list of things that you have in storage. I'd like to come and look at them. Can you give me a tour? What are the things that would make you go, yeah, okay, that sounds like a good use of my time, is to take these people who I don't know and don't have any credentials that I know of around just so they can show a list of, because they have a list of things that they won't tell me where they got it from.
Yeah.
Okay. Push away.
That is a success. It's a regular success.
Can I just tell you right now, that roll right there may have saved the whole campaign. This guy appears for the rest of the campaign. If you want to wonder, like, what was the most important role of this game? That one right there was that.
The push one. Yes.
Which is why I was waving my arms wildly, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Nope, I'm going ahead.
Yeah.
All right. He gets, so you're bribing him? Is that what the plan is here?
Yeah. Offering to compensate him for his time?
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. See, Magath is much better with words.
Yeah, yeah. At the notes, they quickly resort to bribery. he looks at you and says, "Well, I don't need you to pay me for my time. The museum does that fine, but I am curious where you got this list. It's sort of important in a murder investigation."
Murder. Oh.
Yes.
Yes, we had a staff person who was recently murdered, and I can tell you that this is his handwriting. Oh, he worked for me. Wow. So I would never accuse you of that, but I would not mind knowing where you got this. It could be important.
Oh, I sort of look around and raise my eyebrow, and I'm obviously about to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I would this have no problem bringing that to the authorities and others that would need to know that information.
This is from a store owner, Ebenezer Albright. That is correct, right? I'm not lying here, I don't think.
No,
nope.
That's the name.
Correct.
Yeah, Albright. We're not sure where he got it from, but you may well. No,
oh, I'm well aware of Mr. Albright and his reputation.
Yes, he seems to deserve it.
Takes a paper out and a pencil and writes down the name. And says, "Well, I can tell you right now, the authorities are definitely going to want to talk to Mr. Albright how he got this list of missing
items." That sounds like it couldn't happen to a nicer man, from what I hear.
Yes. Oh. In any case, this is a yes.
Well, I mean, maybe so, that might be good for you to know, but he still has this list. I copied this down.
Sorry, I forgot that. I thought you grabbed the list. It's not in his handwriting. No. Then we gotta write that.
Yeah. So this is a list. I wrote this list. But I guess I could divulge that there was a list that was on a paper from the British Museum, and I changed some of the information on there, so he has it, but it's not correct anymore. But the original list is still in his shop. So.
Oh, if he has a list of these items in any sort of form on our stationery, we'll definitely want to talk to him.
Yeah.
Tell you, he's going to have some very uncomfortable conversations with Detective Sprinsler.
What happened to your assistant? Why? How was he healed, or how did he die?
He was working here late at night, and he was the police believe that he was confronted by a unknown person or persons. His name is Archie Glossop. He's well liked here. He's worked for me personally. I found him to be very diligent, very diligent. But yes, the police report, he had blunt trauma to the head. Seemed like someone grabbed a piece and smashed it on him.
Wow. So, do you believe in that maybe these artifacts are bringing some sort of bad luck, like a curse?
Oh. Well, I don't know about a curse. I know the
Can I give him a little psychology roll to see if he's just being polite?
Yeah.
That is a I'll spend 2 luck. That's a normal success.
So he is unsure of whether or not they're cursed. He is
okay.
He does believe there are ghosts in the British Museum.
Okay. Wow.
Yes. Well, then this is the list you have here came out from that investigation. The first item there, the bust of Naboo, is apparently the only thing they stole. Which is so when that disappeared, the police started asking for it, investigation of other things. But the other items on there, I can't show you to them because they're missing.
What? They've been stolen also.
They were stolen?
Well, I want to hesitate. I don't necessarily use the word stolen. Sometimes pieces, someone will look at them and somebody else will get interested and bring them to their desk and not follow the right protocols. I don't want to say anything was stolen, but they are missing. But you're missing an item on there. There's a very spectacular gold statue of Naboo. Oh. Naboo ascending that's not on your list there.
Oh, maybe.
Can you describe it? That?
Oh, it's Naboo rising out from a worshiper. It's a fascinating piece about the nature of religion. You know, do we come from gods or do gods come from us?
I think we know what statue that is.
I see. Okay. And what about the other pieces? What were they about? Were they depicting something or they have any writing on it?
Well, I can't really tell you. They were put into storage. They were cataloged, but nobody had gone through the formal process of processing them. That's what we do is we get items, and then there's one process where we give them all individual numbers, and then somebody like Archie, looks a little sad for a moment, Archie would sort of try to place their historical significance.
Mm-hmm. Then not even a small description of the item.
Well, there may be something out there. I could probably find something for you if you're interested.
We are. That will be very helpful.
I'm sorry again. I can't show you where the items. I can't show you any of these items because they're missing. But I'd be willing to get you a description of what we have.
Yes,
that would be great. Yes.
Well,
but again, I would ask you to not say anything about any of these items outside of our circle of trust here.
Well, of course not.
It's just these are tense times between the Iraqi and British people.
Circle of trust with the strangers. listen, we are actually doing some personal investigation. We're helping a friend that Albright actually assaulted, physical assault our friend. So by trying to help him, we ran into this list, and that's where we're coming here for your help. But looks like this is bigger than just a physical assault on our friend. So maybe we can help each other, and maybe we, during our investigation on what is going on with Mr. Albright, we can run into something that can help the police to find who killed your friend Archie.
I would anything that could give information about Archie would be most appreciated. And of course, if any of these missing items had left the building for whatever reason, it could be brought back again, why, that would be most appreciated by the museum.
Yes, we can, if we run into any of the items, The museum is for sure the best place to store them. So we'll bring them here to you.
Can you give me a fast talk roll?
I'm not very fast talker.
Yeah.
I'm not very good fast talker. Let's see. And what about 90?
That's pretty good.
Okay.
Sounds like I'm still drunk from yesterday.
Well, this has been a most informative talk. I'm glad to hear. Now, where should I send this information on the stolen materials?
To our club, I think would be best. And I will give him a card for the Wentworth Club.
Excellent, excellent. I assume if we need to reach you, we can send a message there?
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Excellent, excellent. Is it anything else I can do for you?
So, this, I'm a little confused. The items that are missing were all just recently given to the museum, or does it take a long time for these items to get processed?
It can take a very long time for items to get processed.
Ah, so some of them may have been in your back rooms for years.
Yes, 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 yes.
And in particular, this statue of, what did you say, Naboo Rising?
Ascendant, yes, yes.
Ascendant. Is that came years ago as well?
Yes, yes. I'm not even going to give you a psychology role. He's absolutely lying.
Yeah. Well, that makes two of us, so that's good.
Yeah.
That's our circle of trust, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I understand what is necessary to understand. Thank you. It's quite a lovely... Where did they all come from?
Oh, Nineveh. Nineveh, mm-hmm. There's an expedition there in 1903 that brought them all back. Just so many lovely materials, and, you know, the museum has a lot of drains on its resources. Lots of expeditions out there, and it means you can't. Sometimes things take a little longer than you might expect.
I see. Yes. Well, very well. Thank you.
Well, if there's nothing else, I bid you all a good day, and he will sort of reach into his jacket pocket and pull out, you know, cards for himself and hand them all to you. Feel free to contact me if you need any help with anything else.
And we will, certainly.
Thank you very much.
Much appreciated, Mr. Lawton.
Steve, is your curator, where does your curator work?
That museum in Scotland, say, I don't know, maybe Edinburgh. Something like that.
Okay. So not in town. It's not like they've run into each other necessarily.
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, archivists, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I'm thinking it's a very small, specialized thing. You know, I mean, they may be talking, depending on exactly what it is this guy does, they may be talking back and forth at some point over research, but
by letter, so he doesn't have to hear your accent.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. Thank God. Yeah, by letter.
So you may have, are you making small talk with this guy or anything like that?
Yeah, I could. Like on the way back, maybe I'll, or not on the way back, but at the end when he's handing out cards, I might, you know.
Yeah. Well, you all seem very interested in Assyrian art. artifacts. You should meet Reginald Thompson someday.
Reginald Thompson, you say?
Yeah, where would one go about meeting him?
Well, he has an office here in the museum.
Oh, you think he's here now?
And let's have a group luck roll.
45.
I'm 40.
I'm very lucky right now. I'm 70, so no. Sure, we can do something about that, Sean.
Sounds like sounds like me. 33 will be a success. Thank God.
I can go and check. Just wait right here.
Thank you.
He walks away, and 3-4 minutes later, in fact, he is in his office, and he's willing to meet with you. And he will lead you down the corridors to a space that looks like it was a conference room converted over to an office. It is significantly different than Mr. Longton's office. And there is a placard outside, you know, Reginald Campbell Thompson, that looks much nicer than the other placards outside other people's doors.
Totally collected Patrick Longton for a future novel.
Yeah. And with that, let's go to Peter Simpkins' house. Maud, Roger, and Kitty. We last left. Roger had done almost a session, if you will, of psychoanalysts, and the door unlocked.
Please wait outside, Miss Throckmorton and Miss Hall. Don't want to disturb the fellow any more than is necessary.
I roll
as the door slammed in my face.
All right, Kitty, let's reconnoiter and see if we see anybody watching this house or us.
Good idea.
All right, Roger, you go in by yourself, continuing to defy expectations that I set every week. There is a man on the floor leaning against a wall. He is painfully thin with long and matted hair. He's got wild eyes to him. There are papers everywhere. There are books strewn about the place. The house just looks in disarray.
Have we gotten Peter's last name by now?
Simpkin,
yes. Okay. Thank you for letting me in and seeing me, Mr. Simpkin.
Oh, you're the first person I've talked to in some time.
Yes, I understand. The situation can be quite disturbing. you are right to be concerned. Have you considered going abroad? My companion outside, Miss Hall, could arrange transportation to someplace safe, perhaps Valparaiso. Quite a lovely city.
They'll follow wherever you go. Damn Thompson. Damn him to hell. Never should have gone back. He's doing fine, the rest of us. One by one.
What about Mr. Brightman?
Oh, Brightman. Yes, I saw that. I heard. He found that thing and he paid the price.
Yes. Which
thing did you refer to? McAvoy, Thompson. The last one's left.
So,
you said you're a friend of McAvoy's. You had a message from him. What did he say?
Oh, he wanted to verify that you are safe, and he is headed abroad, as I said.
Good.
This all has sent him to Valparaiso. He is gone. Are you sure you would not care to join him there?
I don't know. Maybe that's the right thing to do. It's hard to know. I don't. And he sort of looks up and the window. I don't want to leave the house. I don't. They're there. There's no point in fighting. The darkness is coming. It's coming for all of us.
Well, yes, but Valparaiso is quite far away. It will take much longer to get there.
I don't know. Sometimes I just wish they would do it. They would just finish this. The tomb is coming. They're watching me. I don't know why they just watch. Come in, and he sort of stretches his hand out. They come in. They search. And I sleep. I try not to sleep anymore. Try not to sleep.
Do you know who is watching you?
Those people. They didn't like that we went into the temple. They didn't like it. They're not part of the curse, but they're the curse. They're part of the curse, not the curse.
Part of the curse, but not the curse. Of course. Yes, makes complete sense. So, why is Mr. Thompson immune from this? Why do they not pester him? Is he part of it as well?
I don't know. Maybe they think it'll make him suffer by dragging this out. As long as McAvoy's okay, I'm going to be okay. We're the same. We're the same. You see, we didn't take the most valuable items. No, that was Thompson and Brightman and some of the others.
But you did take something.
So who are you? Why are you here?
My name is Mr. Schindler. As I said, I'm acquainted with Mr. McAvoy, and I just want to make sure that he and his companions, such as yourself, are safe.
Well, we're not safe. We're not safe.
Well, I understand that you are not safe now. That's why we are trying to arrange for better safety.
Shouldn't have been there. We shouldn't have been there.
What was it that you took from the temple? It has them so up in arms.
I just took a couple of curios. Nothing valuable. I was like Thompson. Packed it all up and sent it right off to the museum.
Well, of course. Something a man like Thompson would do. Do you still have your curios?
No, I got rid of them. I thought that would help. I went out and I threw them off a bridge. I thought that would help. They would stop. But they just keep looking and looking.
Threw them off a bridge. Why did you just not return them? Perhaps leave them out on the step for them to retrieve.
I thought maybe if they kept having to think about them, maybe they thought if they had them, they would just then kill me. Once they had it back, they would just kill me.
Fair enough.
Definitely. I don't.
Good thinking on your
part. Very tired.
Well, why don't you come. My friends are outside. I assure you, despite appearances, Miss Hall and Miss Throckmorton are quite capable. I am here with you. Come, why don't you climb into your bed? Get some rest. You will be quite safe while we are here with you.
Oh. Yes. He will sort of pick himself up, drag himself sort of up the stairs. Your body sort of thumped down on a bed. Deep, rhythmic snoring.
Perfect. Now I can search the place.
Yeah. Go ahead and give me a spot hidden.
Actually, before I do, I am going to check out the look back outside to see if I see. Hopefully, Miss Hall and/or Miss Throckmorton are still there.
Good Let's luck, find that buddy. Out.
Once again, your ride has left. No,
Kitty was trying to listen through the through the letterbox.
Uh-huh. Not a problem.
So, yeah. You'll probably see Kitty right by the door.
Miss Hall, come in. The gentleman is asleep. So perhaps if we could be a little quiet.
What did you do to him?
We don't want to wake
up. Well, I just think you were gonna, before you go, could you and Kitty both give me spot hidden?
I'm going to stay outside and watch.
Spot hidden.
Oh, 08.
Oh, 13. Well, yours is probably better, but mine is a hard.
Mine is an extreme.
Yes, with those rolls. It's not right in front of the house. It's down a little bit. There is a car parked, and there is a man dressed in a very nice suit, dark complexion. Mm-hmm. He's clearly looking at you, and with that extreme roll I will give you, he is looking at you with just a bit of hatred in his eyes.
Oh, good.
Shall I blow him a kiss? I'll stay outside. You go in. That way, if he does anything, I'll knock.
Okay.
Excellent idea, Mr.
I light up a cigarette and watch him right back.
Are you... So you're making it clear that you see him?
Oh, yeah.
He starts up the car, drives by the house.
I take the plate.
And as he is driving by you, you are quite sure that he is mentally memorizing all of your features. And you are able to get a plate.
I'll keep watching just in case he sends someone back.
Mm-hmm. All right, inside Peter Simpkins' house.
Perhaps you could help me have a look around, Miss Hall.
Well, of course. Is it a mess? I kind of have the impression a crazy person's house will be.
Go ahead and give me your spot hidden rolls.
Spot hidden again. Normal, regular success?
Mm-hmm. Hard success.
So, yes, it is a mess. Kitty, it would make complete sense for you to sort of think that this is just, crazy person, doesn't, do upkeep or whatever. Roger, with your better success, it looks more like if you've ever had something in your office, like, I know this book is somewhere, and you tear apart your office looking for that book. You don't find it. And then, like, a week later, like, I'm going to find it. And you go looking again. It's clearly, like... This place has been torn apart multiple times. It's not just like books were read and just thrown to the side. Someone has done a detailed search of this house multiple times.
And presumably not found what they're looking for.
Presumably not looking for.
Do they think he still has?
I take it we're not going to find anything.
Oh, yes. With your rolls, you don't find anything. There's nothing.
Yep.
Whatever it was here, they were unable to find after tearing the place apart.
Yeah.
Well, what do you say, Miss Hall? Don't know what they... are still looking for here, but they're clearly not finding it.
So everyone that's associated with the dig or that has items from the dig, And now we have one of those items.
Well, yes, but we didn't take it from the temple, so I'm sure it will be fine.
I don't think Archie took anything from the temple.
Give me an idea roll, Kitty, as you say that.
Kidoki. Or just 69 out of 70.
Okay, just we'll just hold on to that for a bit.
Okay. What are we going to do with Peter now?
Well, I did propose that you could book him passage to Valparaiso, get him out of London. Seemed to be warming up to the idea.
I was thinking more of a trip to the countryside, but... Very well. But it seems that they don't kill him. Why? Why are they killing some of them and not the others? Doesn't perhaps. Make sense.
Well, perhaps it has to do with whatever it is they keep searching for. Not until they find it that they are intending to kill him. So the question very much becomes, what is it that they are searching for? I think Peter was pretty clear that he threw away everything that he had taken from the temple, right?
Yes.
Well, I don't believe there's much more for us here.
Are you going to let him sleep for a while? Or are you going to just leave? What's your plan here?
Yeah. Perhaps you could leave a contact number for him if he decides to take you up on your offer of transport.
Very well. I'll write a note. Give you know the address details of the club.
Okay.
So wait a second. So he went upstairs to go to sleep. So there's an upstairs that we haven't seen yet.
You haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I thought we searched.
Sorry. The search was for the whole place while he's sleeping.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, we'll just leave that note by his bedside. Lock the door on the way out.
Way to build trust and then knock it down.
Suddenly your earlier impression of Roger might be restored. Mm-hmm. He really does care about this man. Look how kind he is to him.
Yeah, right, I did like the bit where he was sort of just indulging him in his what are clearly delusions and it's like, yes, of course the darkness is coming. That's a great thing you want your therapist to be saying.
Well, it worked.
Where will you all be heading after this?
I assume you tell us about the license plate and the
indeed
people surveilling us, so
I give a good description and we should perhaps one among us has a contact with the police, you know, a friend who's an inspector or something.
Yes, I'm really fed up of
the Wentworth Club.
Every place we go these people are watching us. I really want to turn the tables. Like to track some of them down.
Ooh, Kitty, we are going to be such fast friends.
Let's jump back to the museum on that happy note. You are all ushered into Reginald Campbell Thompson's office. He is late 40s, average build, distinguished heir to him. He has a very large desk that he sits behind. There are chairs for you all to sit down if you choose. And says, "Well, I'm told by Patrick that you are interested in my work. I'm always happy to talk to explorers like yourselves."
Can I, before we start interviewing him, can I just verify something?
Yeah.
Was this guy missing or presumed dead or something like that at some point? And we just now tracked him down here? Kind of.
No, he came up early on. You know that he was part of the expedition that went in 1903 and then the secret expedition of 1919.
Right. Had a falling out with, what's his name? Yep, sorry.
Oh, no, He and Brightman, had some trouble with each other. But it's not that he's disappeared. It's just you didn't know where to find him.
Ah, I see.
I mean, he wasn't in the white pages. He's not, nobody in your immediate circle knew where he was.
Mm-hmm. Just so happens. Well, la-di-da. Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
So, yeah, I think Dame Agatha sort of has a quick swallowing of whatever she was about to say as he says, "It's a pleasure to meet fellow explorers," as she's trying to figure out how we were introduced. Were we introduced by...
Longton just kind of threw you in there.
Okay. So presumably he told Reginald something while he was here alone and then, okay. Yeah.
Something about his glory. Yeah.
Yeah.
So well, you get the sense that Reginald doesn't necessarily mean this as like actual explorers going out on digs, but like explorations of the mind as well.
Ah. Mm.
Yeah, it's more of a general sort of like, we're all part of the same group of people interested in this very niche activity, niche time.
Ah, well, in that case, yes, okay. If she understands that.
Yep. He didn't set you up as like having gone to temples in the middle of nowhere before.
Okay. Yes. I understand that you are quite perhaps the world's expert, or certainly among the very top.
I would agree with you in that, yes.
That was obvious that he would agree.
Yeah. All that we need to know about this guy right there. One second.
I want to say this guy is a real person.
Excellent.
So, apologies to any family members. And, the words of the keeper are not necessarily those of Skype of Cthulhu. And yes, I would agree with you that I'm certainly one of the leading scholars, if not the. But I'm always happy to help those who are interested in the field.
We are quite interested in this Naboo ascending, or perhaps ascendant. I guess it depends how you choose to translate. She says as if she knew anything about anything.
Mm. Yes. It was a beautiful piece we found.
This is the Thompson Brighton expedition of 1905, yes, or was it later?
Yes, it was in the original find, 1903. Yes.
Mm.
Was he about to expound? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, no.
Interrupt him. Perhaps you could expound.
Well, it's a lovely piece. It's apparently missing. Not exactly sure. It's last cataloged as being on one of the assistant curator's desk. It's logged as having been put into a secure location, but doesn't seem to be there, so...
And this piece only came into the museum possession relatively recently, I understand.
Oh, how do you...
Is that not true? Has it been in the museum for a while?
Give me a social skill roll to get him to take you into his confidence.
All right. Well, I will continue with my flattering, charming ways as I went before, and that will be a success.
Excellent. Well, Longton says you can be trusted. It's good enough for me. Yes, we had it. It actually came from a more recent expedition. A smaller group of us went back 5 years ago, and were able to find some additional artifacts, get them out before all the troubles arose there.
Yes, that's quite daring of you to go in despite the troubles.
Well, you know, the search for knowledge is sometimes requires risks, and
that's such important work.
Where exactly did you recover the piece?
Well, we were back at Nineveh, and King and I had discovered back in 1903 the. What we thought was the location of the tomb of Nabu. And we were right. We were right. We found the tomb. The temple of Nabu. Really some stunning pieces of work there. It's going to turn the archaeological world upside down with some of the pieces we found there.
So... Connor might be familiar with, I mean, I don't know, it's might take some kind of role or your discretion or just say, yeah, okay. Might be familiar with the general area of the dig sites to begin with. And I'm just wondering if I can not push him, but ask him, kind of show him I know what I understand about these things. Ask him specifically like where the dig site was, the Temple of Nabu in relation to the earlier ones or something like that, just to figure out where it is. Both impress them and get some information.
Yeah, I don't... go ahead and give me a knowledge roll.
Knowledge.
Education.
Am I that educated? I am that educated. That's a normal success.
So what you will absolutely then know about the 1903, and there were some other expeditions to Nineveh. You'll have a general sense of where they found things. If you sort of ask him, well, in relation to such and such,
yes,
he will say, exactly. Oh, well, the problem that we found a document that led us to where made us realize where the temple had to be, and we managed to, and he'll give you a location that's sort of off center from where the main dig will be. You know, think Indiana Jones when all the diggers are over here, and you know the right. Actual thing they're looking for is over there.
My God, man, the stuff you were using was 6 inches too short.
Yes. We were there, and we went and found the door to the temple, but we didn't have time or resources to explore inside, so we simply covered it back up again.
Actually made it to the temple.
We did in 1903, but it took quite some time to get the funding together to go back again. It's complicated. We had to be everything had to be secret. Didn't want anyone from the Iraqi government getting word, accusing us of being plunderers. He says that with such a hint of disregard. And we also were concerned about others who might be able to get to the temple if who already were working in the area, if anything sort of leaked out. So we took us a while to put together the funding in a way that nobody knew exactly what we were doing. And the museum itself was not directly tied to it, but we were able to go back. I do wish King had been there. He's a good man and a good friend. He deserved to see the temple, but alas, time waits for no man.
And the temple itself, I mean, you obviously brought back its treasures, but what was the temple itself like?
Oh, it was a magnificent building inside it. And he will proceed to describe it to you in terms of the size and that sort of thing. I don't have that information right at hand.
Well, that's fine. I'm more thinking that, we may end up there someday, and it would be good to know about something about it. And so now we do.
Yes, you definitely know the general location for where it was. And certainly if your good friend Connor was still alive at that point, he'd be able to direct you there.
I'm trying to think what else we are hoping to understand. I guess the other stuff is this. We have been hearing about people who believe that there is a curse and people who sort of act accordingly. What is your take on all this? Is there somebody taking advantage, or are they just trying to get their own back?
I don't myself put much stock into curses. It seems that most of these things can be explained through natural circumstances. King, for example, died of a heart attack. We hadn't even gone there yet. I'm sure if he died of a heart attack after we came back, there would be discussions of curses. It's a handy, sometimes people just need an extra story. It's not exciting enough for them that we found this brief look into a world from 2,000 years ago. We have to have extra things on top of it.
What about Lord Brighton? He met us in not too long ago. You think that's part of the curse? Would people say?
I think Lord Brighton was a man of some wealth. He had had things stolen from his house.
Well, things stolen from. I'm going to give him a psychology roll as well. If I
may. That's exactly what I was looking for right there.
Normal success.
We'll go with your roll.
yes, he is. He absolutely believes that Brightman was just a burglary gone wrong.
Random victim. Okay. So he neither believes in a curse nor does he believe in a conspiracy or a plot or whatever it seems like. Revenge killings.
Let's sort of walk through what he thinks. He doesn't believe in curses. He doesn't believe that Brightman. He believes Brightman was just a robbery.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't believe in curses, but he's clearly uncomfortable about something, and he doesn't give you any sort of sense of, like, what were you saying, revenge?
Yeah.
That part he might believe in. Okay, like, he might believe in somebody seeking revenge, but he's dismissive of it.
Yeah, I'll just ask him. So it seems that, I mean, I agree with you quite wholeheartedly that there are, that curses and so forth aren't real, but it does seem like there may be some mad, I don't know, people who still believe in Naboo, or people who are worried about this plundering, as you say, the ennobling of the British mind. What, do you think there are actually people who are likely to attack you, for example?
What I can tell you is that while we were there, the natives were definitely hostile to us. Mm-hmm. And our leaving of the site was dramatic. Mm-hmm. We were confronted as we tried to leave. And I do think that the people there, the people from that area did not want us there. I suppose it is possible they could have come here, but I doubt they have the resources or the frankly the ability. I'm not even going to make you roll. He is clearly a racist here.
Yeah.
He is, he is old school, like, the native folks.
Yep.
They couldn't possibly organize their way out of a paper bag and do something like that. So it's not that he doesn't believe that there are people that don't like him. He just doesn't believe those people are capable.
They can't be effective. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect. I see.
And what he will say is, I don't believe in curses, but I will say that there were things that happened while we were there that they made me believe in that maybe some the pursuit of knowledge, but we definitely disturbed a place that had not been
disturbed. What sorts of things?
That's fascinating. There was a death that perfectly reasonable. What happened to something during some of the equipment in the construction collapsed and killed a man. Mm. But I did have an uncomfortable feeling there. I can't really explain it, and you get the sense he's sort of starting to think out loud and then realizes, like, oh, I don't really know these people. Sort of catches himself.
It's fascinating. You're thinking that it was not, that it maybe not have been an accident. Maybe there was some sabotage, or perhaps just something, I don't know, some odd. I mean, obviously, we can't explain everything in the world, I suppose, but you think it's something just a little, even a man of your intellect can't explain everything, I suppose, but.
Give me another charmed roll.
Ooh, this one, I may be getting sick of him. That is not a success.
I certainly think there are more things in the world than are accounted for by our science. But at the end of the day, we did the right thing. We brought back knowledge that will be here for generations to come, knowledge that had we not done it, would have remained, kept beneath the sands.
Mm.
Well, this has been most enlightening. I've enjoyed my chatting with you. Good luck to you in your exploration of the topic. My book can be found in the library if you wish to read more of an authoritative text on the matters.
Thank you for your audience and your time. Can I take a quick look around his office before we leave and see if there's something that stands out, like it might be from Temple of Naboo or something like that, that looks peculiar that I've not seen.
I'm going to let you and Montgomery and Oswald all give me spot hidden.
Okay.
All right.
Hard success.
24 is also a hard success.
It's sitting right there, Sean.
I'm going to roll between Randall and Max. Randall, you're odd.
That's for sure.
Oh, and you'd also be, when the roll is odd, it's you. Montgomery, as you are listening to this and they're chattering away, get up and you sort of stand up and sort of stretch your legs a little bit. You lean against a bookcase, and you realize that on the top of this bookcase that there is a journal. It is clearly written on the front cover there, you know. Journal. And it's got Reginald Campbell Thompson's name on it.
Boy, how are we gonna steal that?
Okay.
I think it's the kind of thing where we all kind of crowd out kind of in front of him right there. Some people, is it a smaller office or a larger office or
it's, you know, it's a conference room size office.
Conference room size office. Well, if it's by the door and I notice it's there, I'm sure we can kind of jostle as on the way out, kind of stop and turn around. I'm sure a man like him is not bothering to come around from behind his desk, right?
Oh, he is not. No. Let me answer your question, though. You were looking around for Naboo-type things. There's a variety of little, you know, tablets and things and all around this office. There's none that are representative of Naboo, though.
Okay, thank you.
Do I know if some of us are very skilled at hiding stuff? Like, someone has a good skill? Sleight of hand. So I am not that good. So is there like a big book that I can
Oswald, I'm gonna let you with your other hard success. I mean, so Montgomery found it first, and in your hard success is you see Montgomery staring at this book.
Okay. Yeah, I will elbow whoever I have next to me, right? I will elbow and point with my eyes towards the diary.
Okay. Well, I'm not great at sleight of hand, so.
I guess. Can I give him a bonus dice for the jostling type activity or something like that?
Sure.
Does he need to roll sleight of hand? That should be the first thing we ask.
Yeah, I mean, if I want to grab it, I would much rather be stealthy about it, if that's the case.
I'd be willing to take a stealth or a dexterity roll.
Oh, stealth? I can do that. I will try and surreptitiously grab the book when he's not looking. Zero 08 is going to be extreme success for stealth.
Perfect. So you are able to sort of take advantage of Montgomery sort of putting his body in the way and grab the book, stealth it away, and And for your reading pleasure, in the folder, there's another long journal.
Oh, wow. Oh.
But you can thank me. It was 64 pages, and I significantly reduced it.
Wow.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I like those things, man. I think they're pretty awesome. Can you put the full version too?
No.
I will at the end, but the full version. So here's a, inside baseball thing. The whole thing with Nevi's journal and talking about her grandfather and all that, mm-hmm. has, you guys have that on your notes as a thing. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. I don't know why they included all that information.
Yeah.
This one is pared down to like, this is the stuff that's actually useful and doesn't send you off into wild goose chases.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
I'm happy to send you the full one later, but
you don't want to keep it.
There are three pages talking about like the 12 spheres of the gods. I'm like, oh no, we're going to spend days on that.
What have we got? Page 4, 5, 11.
Yeah, no, 12. You can see how much I cut out.
Oh, wow.
Well, he probably just ripped it up a little bit earlier. He took the journal and then...
Yes. So you have taken the journal and secreted it upon your person. Not a problem. He will sort of leave you to your own devices to figure out how to get back.
I assume we can.
You can. Get out to the main exhibit there. Everybody can give me a spot hidden.
Mm. Ooh, that's something.
That's a normal
success is what that is.
No for me.
What about 03?
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Instead of spotting something.
Yeah, a 03, anybody who has sort of spotted, anybody who got a success sees a guy who sort of looks a little, the museum is generally filled with, families and whatnot and distinguished people. It's somebody who definitely looks a little bit rougher with an extreme success there, Montgomery. You are quite sure that that was the driver of the car. That was following you when you left the club.
Wow.
Okay, I will make sure that everyone knows about it, of course. Right? Not being very loud, but yeah, kind of whispering to them.
Wow, it's interesting that they tracked us to here despite having. Oh, maybe they came directly here. They must have known we were coming here. Because the other guy got out of the car to follow me. I wonder how they knew where we were going. Must be somebody at the club. I'll have to spend weeks on that.
What are you all doing next?
Let's separate into pairs and move around and see who he follows, if we can.
That's a good one. Yeah.
We can do that a few times and then...
Out of pairs.
Change the pairs up and hopefully narrow it down without ever being alone.
He stays against the wall where he is watching and he tries to sort of, as long as he has one pair in his sight... He does not move. If all of you sort of move to a different room, or if there's suddenly none of you in this room, he will follow whoever is the last person to leave the room.
Okay. Mm. We try that a few times in different combinations, and he always follows the last person to leave the room.
He's always in sight of one set of you, so yes.
But
if you all move to a different room, if the last person leaves the room doesn't connect with another group, then he just keeps following that group. If you meet with a group and then the other group is the last people in the room, he's trying not to sort of be obvious in his brain.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's jump back to Peter Simpkins' house. What are you all doing?
I was kind of thinking we should meet back up at the club.
Yeah, I'm going back to especially, the club.
Yeah. I mean, it's lunchtime, so.
Maude, are you doing that as well?
I guess Mr. Simpkins just going to have to wake up and realize we've left him. I do want to... Yes, let's go back to the club.
Miss Hall left him a note.
I don't even look at Roger.
I'm quite sure that most gentlemen would be quite happy to receive a note from Miss Hall.
Okay, so you're heading back to the club. That'll be a bit. He's out of town. Just for the sake of the rest of you, are you, after you've done your, what's that game, the movie with Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo, where he's walking around a museum with a hat? What's that?
Thomas Crown.
Thomas Crown Affair, thank you. After you've done your Thomas Crown Affair here, what are you planning on doing?
Guess we go back to the club.
All right.
Or at least I will. With the others.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
Watch them follow us in a tack. Or I guess he gets back in his car to copy us.
Oh yeah, that's the big question: is does he leave the museum?
He definitely will follow you. And walk outside with you. If you guys grab a cab, you see him just sort of standing there watching the cab drive away.
That's odd for a driver. Okay, great.
Well, it's not, because he has to drive. You have to leave. Go find his car to go get you. It's that sort of thing.
Gotcha. You didn't park in the right place.
Yes, you didn't leave at the right spot for him to grab his car. Parking in London is terrible. Yes. I'm going to say that the Simpkins house people get there first. I say that only because I rolled the dice. That's how it worked out. when you arrive, Sykes, the butler, greets you. He has an almost gleeful look on his face, which does not make you happy, because... He, you know, as the newest club members, he has the most disregard for you. He clearly sort of, you know, likes to shine the apple of the oldest members and the richest members, and you don't fit either of those categories. He says, there's a visitor for you in the up in the second reception room.
For all of us?
Not quite there, yes. And he sort of points to a room, looks at you expectantly, again with a slightest smile. It's possibly the only time you've seen him smile. It's not a warm feeling you get.
Who is it?
Is it going to be the police?
It's the fuzz.
I believe it is the police here to see you.
Excellent. I have a few questions. Thank you.
inside there, I should have brought up this. Where is he? Ah, here we go. There is a man in his early 50s. He is looks a little harried. His dress distinguishing, but looks a little harried with, you know, his eyes are just look tired. And sitting next to him is Gregory Bluffstone, the president of the club. The two of them have been chatting. And I'm going to just say the rest of you arrive at around that time, and Sykes directs you in as well, so we don't have to do the recap thing. Okay, so your whole group is there, and yes, it's Detective. It's Detective Marcus Brinslow. Please be seated. Need to inform you that I am here in an official capacity. I am the lead investigator on the death of Lord Brightman. As you can imagine, the death of a peer of the realm is a matter of utmost importance to my department. And you see Bluffstone sort of clucking along, like, oh, yes, that makes sense, yes. It says, I received an unusual phone call yesterday from the late Lord Brightman's valet saying that he had received visitors from the Wentworth Club.
Oh, yes, I was one of those visitors.
You must be Miss Throckmorton?
Yes.
And Connor Shaw, is he in the room?
Oh, just there.
Yes.
Excellent. So he reported that you were there on behalf of the club investigating Lord Brightman's death. And then late last evening, I happened to see a police report for a Terence McAvoy. Strangely, the person who found that body, a Roger Snidler? Is he here?
Yes, I am Mr. Schindler.
He apparently told them that he was there as a friend of the, on behalf of the club as well in some way. That the notes are a little vague.
Clearly they are vague, as I said no such thing.
Oh, but the keeper went and listened, and you said just those things.
Well, did I say on behalf of the club as well?
No, we said we were from the Wentworth Club.
No, I did. I did. Yeah, but not actually go back and listen, because right? I wasn't sure either. You said you were there for Thompson, who's a member of the Wentworth Club.
Well, yeah, but that's a different thing. I'm in character.
Yeah.
That's a different thing from saying on behalf of
the club. Oh, fair enough.
Which is my point.
Oh, yeah, it's a very good point. Yes. Well, it's connected to the Wentworth Club. I'm curious, and he turns to Bluffstone. We've known each other for some time, Gregory. Are you running a detective agency out of your club now? Oh, no. I'm unaware of any of these activities. Maybe you all could tell us what you're doing. And the two of them will look at you expectantly.
I look at Roger.
Kitty's confused as to why she's in this group. Well, it seems I'm not needed, so I'll just go and get myself a spot of lunch, I think. Very nice to meet you, Detective.
I will stay, though, because this is fascinating.
Well, Miss Throckmorton, Mr. Shaw, Mr. Schindler, any thoughts on the matter?
Well, for our part, simply it's I'll offer him a card. I am a curator by profession, and I had as many people in this club are, we were interested in Lord Brighton's possessions, same thing as she would be interested in my museums, and we simply wanted to make sure that his man Collins was doing the proper things to take care of his collection. While we were there, we simply dropped into some conversations, as one will. I don't see anything untoward about it.
Do you, as the player, believe what you're saying? I mean, does your character believe what he's saying, that that's what you had, that's how the conversation went?
Kind of. I mean, we were interested in what was going on at, clearly we've been, like, investigating this whole thing, but yeah, he really had a concern that Collins wasn't handling things properly.
I just need to know if you needed a fast talk roll. It sounds like you
did.
Carry on.
Yeah.
Why don't we just say that we're investigating on behalf of Teddy?
Well, that's what I was going to do.
Yeah. Mr. Price and a companion of his met us the other night. They gave us this statue, which is currently we've secured in the bank, and asked us to look into it. Or rather, we were curious, and some of us decided to look into it, and that is all there is to the story. The only connection to the club is Mr. Price and the fact that we met him here.
Oh.
Mr. Brighton was a member of the club. So our concern was, I think, in the club's best interest.
The detective will sort of try to... So you and weren't also, acting... You were acting on the behalf of this... success
on law.
What's that?
Also, with my success on law, I will say, I wonder what is it that we're doing wrong as citizens. We haven't break any laws.
Well, the detective Rizzo. Yeah, that's absolutely true. You have not broken any laws.
Okay.
Becoming involved in an investigation. You're apparently making independent inquiries. I just needed to know what was going on here.
I understand, Detective. I understand that you may want to know, but since we haven't break the law and we are entitled by the laws of this great nation to look into things of our own, as long as we are not interrupting your investigation, which we are not. I don't see why is it that we're causing such a fuss at the club.
Well, because you didn't, no one knew what you were doing. You were presenting as part of the club, and two deaths that somehow one you're investigating, one you find a dead body. As someone as learned in the law as you must understand, I have an obligation to make sure I have access to all necessary information. So,
of course, and we are more than willing to share anything that we find with the police, and that's out of the question. That's why actually we called the police when we found the body.
Yes, no, I appreciate that very much. Yes.
I will jot down the license plate and said, we've been followed by someone using this license plate. And I give him a car make and model. And this is not the first time that we've been watched. I do wonder, I think you are quite correct, Detective, that this is all very suspicious and interconnected and truly frightening.
Give me a persuade or charm roll here, Maud.
I'm just being honest. Holy
buckets. Yes.
No.
Okay. Well, Gregory, it sounds like everything is in order here. He pulls out cards and he hands you everybody who stayed in the room.
Thank you.
Everybody else gets a card. If you find any information of interest, I would appreciate you contacting me. I would appreciate if you believe you are in danger, please let me know. Obviously, we want to make sure that you are protected. You want more deaths of a particularly grim manner.
I suggest, Detective, you have a conversation with Mr. Simpkin, 85 Lavender Grove in Hackney.
I'm shaking my head in the background.
An acquaintance of the late Mr. McAvoy. Mr. Simpkin is quite paranoid and concerned for his safety. Believes he could be next to this sort of thing. You may want to have a conversation with him.
Jim, roll me a d4.
Yay, I love rolling dice. 3.
You can add 3 to your sanity.
Woohoo!
The book specifically says if they do something that helps him out, they get a d4. If they don't, he dies and they lose a d4.
Ah. We all get that d4 now.
You wish.
Jim, I left the note. Surely that deserves a D4.
No, that was actually the confusing. Like, I had a whole story built up in the small amount of time. Like, he wonders, was there people really here? How did this note get here? It causes him to become more confused.
Oh.
That was all set to make you really pay for that D4, but then Jim goes and ruins it for me.
All right. So, Jim, I will just stand up and shake the detective's hand, and I will just say, Detective, thank you for your hard work. Thank you for your interest in our safety. We'll be in touch because we will probably keep asking a few questions around. But everything that you feel like is going to jeopardize your investigation, just let us know, all right?
Excellent, excellent. I appreciate your cooperation in this matter. Gregory, good to see you. Good to see you. Bluffstone stands up. There are handshakes everywhere.
Fascinating. Exciting to see how the police work up close like this.
And, Brinslow leaves, and Bluffstone, the president, sits down and sort of gives that sort of like, and you'll all sit down now as well. It says, I appreciate what you're doing on behalf of my friend, Lord Brightman. I would think that you would be better off not mentioning the club quite so much. I will get you letters from myself on my stationery. They will give you the same weight with society as mentioning the club. But you can say that you're working on behalf of me going forward. Give me a psychology roll.
I was just going to ask for that.
Oh. You have bamboozled me.
Fail.
Success, normal success.
You get the sense when he's sort of authorizing this investigation that you've seen him as sort of this large man, sort of, you know, portly and, you know, old guard type thing. But there's just a moment, Roger, that when you're looking at him, you see sort of the glint of a young man in his eyes, as if maybe in his youth he also went places that people wouldn't normally go in society.
So he is excited to once again be a part of
exactly
something interesting, perhaps a little adventurous. Excellent. Yes. You can be sure we will keep you, myself and my companions here, will keep you apprised of anything that happens. Perhaps you would occasionally like to tag along, as the children say.
Oh, I would find that very invigorating, very invigorating. Yes, indeed. And he stands up and rigorously shakes your hand, Roger. And I think with that, that's a good place to end this session.